to be strong and to don the armor that he has provided for. The Holy Spirit here is wrapping up the end of the book of Ephesians, and he guides the Apostle Paul to write a final challenge to the Ephesian believers. Now, you've read the book. I trust you've read it several times, maybe many times. But in the first three chapters, you see the Holy Spirit covers amazing heights of praise and depths of doctrine of the exceeding greatness of God's power to usward who believe, the rich mercy of God that he's shown to us, his great love wherewith he loved us, the believer's position being in Christ, the condition of the unbeliever and being made nigh by the blood of Christ, being a stranger and a foreigner, but now a fellow citizen with a saint, the grace that saves through faith, the common relationship of the Jews and the Gentiles in the church and in Christ, the love of Christ that passeth knowledge. Oh, many, many different doctrines we could look at in the first three chapters. Then Paul switches gears under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and the book turns to a lot of practical measures. Unity of the church, the stability that doctrine will bring to your life, the changed life by putting off the old man and putting on the new man, the submission one to another in the fear of God, and then how family relationships should function. And here, at the conclusion of such weighty commands, Paul encourages us, be strong in the Lord and to put on the armor of God. And that's what God wants for each one of us tonight, to be strong in him, put on his armor. So let's pray as we look into the passage for this evening. Father, I thank you for the church. Thank you for the believers here that make up Maranatha Baptist Church and those that are not able to be here but are listening in. And Lord, I pray that you would be with each one of us. Lord, and I pray that you bless our time and make it a time where we grow in Christ, and Lord, that we become more into the image of your Son, as that is your will for each of us. I pray that you guide me and guide us as we listen to receive your word and let it grow fruit in our life. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Let's look in Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10. The author writes, finally. Don't you love it when a preacher says that? Really, the Greek word here just kind of means, it's just kind of one of those words that is kind of a transition word. So Paul writes, finally, and there's about 15 messages that you could preach out of these next few verses. But here, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Just a few things we'll notice tonight. First, Christ commands us, be strong. That idea is to strengthen or to empower. It's from that Greek word dudamos or dudamai, which means power. And it's the idea of strengthening something. And so Christ commands us, my brethren, be strong. Philippians 4:13, Paul writes, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. 2 Timothy 4:17, notwithstanding the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 34, in that hall of faith, we see that many brave men and women of God, through faith, out of weakness, were made strong. This is an imperative. It's a command. It says, you need to be strong. Strength is something. It's not that strength and fear cannot abide in the same heart, but especially when we're facing a time of fear, an unknown, perhaps a pandemic that's sweeping around us. Boy, that's a time when we like to cower back a little bit and maybe crawl in a hole a little bit and pull the hatch over and just kind of sit there Well, Christ commands us to be strong. He doesn't command us to be stupid. Don't go lick doorknobs in China or in Italy or in America, for that matter. He doesn't tell us to just throw all cares to the wind and forget about common sense, but he does still tell us to be strong. You can still have strength in the face of fear. This is an imperative. It's a command, but it's in the passive voice. I don't mean to get too technical on the language thing here, but it's not you doing the stronging, if that's bad English. It's not you doing strongness in yourself. It's God putting that strength in there. Now, there's an imperative, and it's directed to you and to me, but we're not the ones that can do it. I'm going to be strong. You ever see those billboards up, and they have a white box or a red box towards the bottom, and they have all different ones, and one of them, you know, be loyal, and it has a picture of somebody who's loyal. Or it says, be powerful, and it has a picture of somebody who is considered powerful. Well, I've seen one where it says, be strong, and it has a picture of someone who's considered to be strong. Well, God isn't telling us, well, you just need to work up, you need to be strong, you know, you need to put on a facade. If you're not feeling it, you just got to fake it till you make it. You need to pretend to be strong. You need to go throw yourself against that brick wall time and time again just to show that you're strong. It's a command. But only God is the one who can accomplish it. It's not us doing the work. It's us letting God do that work in us. You see this verb used several times. You see this imperative coupled up with the passive several times in Scripture. Look back one chapter in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. You know this verse, Ephesians 5, 18, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Same construction, you have an imperative. You're supposed to be filled, but you can't fill yourself with the Spirit. Only God can do that action. That's why it's passive there. So we're commanded to do it, but yet we can't do it. But God will do it. So likewise here, be strong. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. It's not that we have to muster it up ourselves, but that God will accomplish it as we let him. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, you know it, same construction. And be not conformed to this world. Same thing. But be ye transformed. Same construction. How can you and I resist being conformed to this world? Well, we can do as Peter writes, be peculiar. You know, we can just be, oh, that cult. You know, they just do strange things over there. They do that. Cults do peculiar things. They have strange things that they hold on to and strange traditions. They do that in the flesh. We could do that. But that's not what God is looking for. He's saying, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Both of those are commands, and both of those are, you can't do it. But God will do it. If you let him, if you seek him, and if you do what he commands. It's not God is saying, well, you just, I'm just going to come and I'm just going to override your will. No, God works your decision maker and his sovereignty. He works those together. But here, God tells us, be strong. So let God accomplish that in your life. He tells us what to be strong in. Be strong. Not in your physique, not in your breath, but to be strong in his person. Be strong in the Lord. Our strength is not sufficient for the tasks that are previously listed in context. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Young people, is it sometimes hard to make yourself obey mom and dad? Yeah, sometimes. That's why mom and dad have a rod. To help you want to. Verse 4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. You have enough strength for that, dads? When your daughter or your son is just, please, 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 exasperating you, and you just lose it. I'm the only one. Servants, verse 5, you ever have a boss? You ever have someone that just, you just can't work for, but you have to work for him because he's your boss. Can you do that in your own strength? Can you obey that principle? Let's get even more more hard. Harder. Ephesians 5, verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. Not possible in our own strength. That's why Christ says, be strong in the Lord. Our strength is not sufficient for those tasks. And our strength is not sufficient to meet the enemies that are going to be mentioned in just a bit. The wiles of the devil, the principalities, the powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. We're not up to that task. That's above our pay grade as humans. That's why God says, be strong in his person, in the Lord. Secondly, he tells us to be strong in the power of his might. This first word, power, is the idea of the power that a creator possesses over his creation. It's the possession of the force or strength that affords supremacy. In other words, you're strong enough to get your way. You can be in charge. You have, it's translated, dominion. Christ is in charge, is he not? Jude chapter 25, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power. That word is often translated dominion. And Jesus possesses all control. Control over every situation, yes, yours included. Control over every sickness, yes, coronavirus included. Control over every suffering, whatever it may be. Christ is supreme. And not even the devil can do anything outside the confines that God has established for him. It can't happen. Because God's power, he's in charge. He has it all. It says the power of his might. This is the idea of capability. What is God capable? Or if you turn it around, what lies beyond the capabilities of God? Now, I'm not going to get into, well, could he make a rock so big you couldn't move it? He wouldn't. Being a moral, intellectual being, he wouldn't. What is God not capable of doing? Yes, sinning. Lying. Good. Good, but let's talk about in your situation. Could God take your situation and turn it out better than you could have ever imagined? Could he take your situation and turn your life upside down in the other way? What is God not capable of doing? Boy, he is capable of doing almost anything that doesn't go against his nature. Of course, lying and sinning. Of course, he's not going to. But this idea of might, be strong in the Lord in the power, that dominion of his capabilities. His capabilities, he could do anything he wanted to. Boy, he could snuff out any government, any country, any person, any disease, any situation. God could just say it and it would be done. And God tells us, don't look to yourself for strength. Don't reach down deep inside. Look to God for strength. And you can be strong in the Lord, and you can be strong in that almighty might that God has. The power that strengthens us is sourced in the might of Almighty God. And because of that, we can have hope. Be strong, my brethren, in the Lord. Verse 11, he gives us another command. He says, put on the whole armor of God. This idea of putting on, you find it in Matthew chapter 6. Wherefore, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Same word here. You know, you put on your suit jacket when you came, fellas, ladies. You put on your dress, your scarf, whatever you have there. It's the idea of just clothing yourself with it, dressing up, suiting up in the armor. Now, the form of this word, it's a middle voice. It indicates that we are involved, but we're not doing all the action. All right, much like be strong is God doing the bulk of the work. We're just kind of flipping the switch, if you will. Here, Christ says, put it on. I supply it for you. I'll help you put it on, but you need to choose to put it on. Now, he mentions, put on the whole armor of God. You know, this is a suit of armor. It's not a list of six different items that you can say, I'll take truth today, and I'll take the shoes, and I'll leave the other ones because they're just not convenient right now. It's a suit. It's one entity, and they all work together. Now, here's a suit of armor. This does not represent what they would have worn in Jewish culture, even in Greek culture here. This is more medieval. The teenagers picked that up on a youth activity last year, I think it was, and someone donated that to the cause. So that's where that came from. But a suit of armor, maybe it'll help you remember Tuesday what the message was tonight. You know, armor can be uncomfortable, especially that right there. It can be hot. It could be heavy. It could be cumbersome. It might limit some things that you could do otherwise. You go bungee jumping in that? Well, first, I couldn't fit in that. But can you imagine running, getting up on a horse? I mean, just think of some of reaching down and tying your shoe. You know, what would it limit you from doing? A few different things. That sounds like some of the restrictions that God could place on his children, does it not? I mean, if you choose to live a life of truth, isn't that restricting? I'm putting in air quotes, but I'm talking the view that an unsafe person is going to have. Isn't that restricting? Oh, you can't go to the movie theaters because why? I mean, where in the Bible does it say movie theaters are sinful? Well, just most of what's up on the screen, it's pretty filled with it. So isn't that restricting? I mean, you can't do that? Well, I'm choosing not to. I put that line in the sand so that way I want to get caught up in it, and I just want to stay a little ways away from that. What about lying? I mean, can't you just tell like a little white lie? I mean, I've talked to coworkers in days past, not pastor, but they were convincing me. They were convincing me that lies were not all lies. They weren't convincing me. They were trying to convince me. I didn't know. A lie's a lie. A little white lie, nobody else is going to find out lie. They're all the same. They're all sinful. What do you mean you can't just edge up just a little bit on the other side of the truth? That sounds restrictive. Well, there's a reason. Let me ask you, what is the basic purpose of armor? Fashion statement? No, it's for protection. God provides armor for us so that we'll protect our necks spiritually. In a lot of ways, it protects our necks physically too. God wires those two together. As a soldier prepares to go to battle, he dons his bulletproof vest, his armor for protection. Why? Because he knows there's a chance he might get hit by a bullet, he might get hit by some shrapnel. And here's the reason why God tells us that we should put on the armor so that you can stand against the wiles of the devil. He says there's a battle that is coming. The devil's out to destroy us as a Christian. 1 Peter tells us in chapter 5, verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. See, Satan's not out just to beat you in a game of chess. He really wants to destroy your life. He wants to take your future and wad it up and throw it away. The devil has enlisted many to help him in his plan for destruction. Fallen angels follow his lead. You have the principalities, the powers, the rulers of darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. I believe all of these things, spiritual in nature, influencing evil men. We find in verse 12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's not the men that we have an issue with. It's the things that they're espousing, the things that they've held on to, the things that they've been influenced by the world and by the devil. You know, we as believers, we need this protection. We could cast it off. Oh, that's old-fashioned. That's limiting. I can't do everything I want to. But we're throwing away our God-provided protection from the roaring lion who seeks to devour us. Young people, they take their armor. I don't want to put that on. I don't want to put truth on. Righteousness, not for me, maybe tomorrow. Sword of the Spirit, I'll leave it in the scabbard today. And when we do that, it's not that we're finally freedom. No, we're losing our protection that God has given us. Verse 13 tells us, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Here's a purpose, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. It tells us to take it up, pick it up, carry it. It's the idea of taking it on board, putting it on in your life. Why? So that you can withstand in the evil day. You can stand against, you can resist the evil. You know, the evil is going to come for you. Now, I'm not discounting the flesh, but here the focus is on the devil and those he's enlisted. So we're talking about the devil and the world system, and those are going to come and press against you, and you throw away your only protection, and you're vulnerable. So as Christians, the call is not, well, just put on the camouflage instead of the armor. The call is to put on the armor and then stand. Be strong in the Lord. So Christ tells us, be strong. Secondly, just to put on the armor. And thirdly, to stand. In verse 14, stand therefore. Now here's the details of the armor. Pastor asked me what I'm preaching on tonight. He asked me that this afternoon, and I said, I'm going to preach on fashion. So let me give you some fashion tips from Pastor Stephen. We'll start a weekly series. Fashion tips from Pastor Stephen here. The armor of God never goes out of style. All right, it doesn't get outdated. It's not one of these spring outfits that you can't wear in the summer, fall, or winter. This is a spring tie, I've been notified. That you can't wear that in winter, you can't wear that in fall, it's just too spring. I'm okay, you're the fashion expert. So I can't wear this, you know, come fall. The armor of God never goes out of style. It's never something that, well, you know, it's not a good time to wear it. It's not a good situation to wear it in. Always wear it. It's year-round. It'll stand up the test of times. Oh, that looks so 70s. That looks so 80s. One day it'll be, that looks so 20s. You know, it's just a revolving door. But the armor of God never goes out of style. So always wear it. Very quickly, just a couple details of the armor. First, truth. Having your loins girt about with truth. That idea of being girt is prepared for activity. So a soldier's wearing his kilt, his shirt, then he'd wear a tunic on top of that. He would have a belt that would hold that all together. And when his tunic, think of a cloak, a raincoat or something, when he's going out to battle, he's going to take that and he's going to tuck it inside his belt. So that way it's not flopping everywhere, getting in the way of him fighting. And so here it tells us to stand having your loins girt about with the truth. You're prepared to live a life of truth. You have intent, you have a purpose to have truth in your life. One author wrote, the belt was designed to keep the other pieces of the soldier's armor in place, including the sword. So I wear a belt because that's what you wear with a pair of pants, unless you are a suspenders kind of person. But with a soldier, his belt is not just going to hold his pants up. It's going to hold the rest of his defenses together. It's going to be what he hangs his sword off of. Truth informs the rest of the defense. See, the preparation of the gospel of peace is no good if the gospel is, well, God does all the saving and you have no part in it. Truth, the helmet of salvation is no good if, well, you could lose your salvation. We're not sure that you can keep it. Truth informs the rest of it, and it holds the rest of it together. Without truth, the others would fall apart. Truth is necessary for your life. For you to stand, you have to have a good belt of truth. Truth will brace the soldier. You ever see one of those back braces? Fellas will wear. They're about 8 inches tall. They're like a belt. It braces their back, so when they're under load, their back doesn't crumble. Boy, truth holds the soldier together. And as one author wrote, it makes the soul sincere, firm, constant, always on its guard. A man who has no consistent views of truth is just the man for the adversary to successfully assail. You know, truth will brace the soldier. Secondly, the second piece we see here is the breastplate of righteousness. Truth is great, but is truth being lived out in your life? Is it bearing the fruit of righteousness? Is it, well, I believe all the right things. Well, what are some of those right things? Well, I believe all the right things, what the Bible says. You know, I just dot the I's and I cross the T's, and I believe everything in the doctrinal statement, everything in that book is true. Well, good. That's a great start. That's truth. But does it bear fruit in your life? Does it produce righteousness in your life? It's good to have truth, but you got to put it into action. Integrity protects that individual. The soldier, wear a breastplate of integrity. Righteousness. Well, I know he would never do something like that. Why? Because he's a man of integrity, a man who keeps his word, a man who is righteous. Well, I just can't see him doing something like that. That's something that will protect the Christian. Wait, do we live, brothers and sisters, do we live lives of integrity? I'm not saying perfect, because no man, no woman is perfect. But Christ calls us, put on that belt of truth and have that breastplate of righteousness. Thirdly, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You know, they say that you should invest your money in a mattress and in your shoes because you're going to spend most of your life in one or the other. And so shoes are important. But the shoes, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. First, are you at peace with God? Romans 5:1 tells us, therefore, being justified, declared righteous with God by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have peace with God? Secondly, do you stand fast in the peace of God? Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 tells us, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. That's the idea of being the umpire, calling the shots, saying, go here, do this, do that. Letting the peace of God direct you. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Do you stand fast in the peace of God? See, if you're the Christian soldier and you're wearing the truth and you got the righteousness, but the peace between you and God has been broken by sin, the fellowship has been disturbed, things aren't quite right. You ever be out of sorts with somebody? You don't have to raise your hand. You ever been angry at somebody or something's not quite right? You're not at peace with that person. Perhaps they're a boss or somebody, and you've done something to offend them, and you don't have a lot of confidence in their presence. You know that there's something in there, that there's some friction. You're not at peace with them. Well, you don't walk as confidently into the office then. You shuffle in. You don't have that confident stride. You don't have that peace in your heart that allows you just to walk right in. I remember you get called into the boss's office and he's like, all right, I have a chair. You know, in your heart you're like, what did I do? Hopefully you're not like, oh, he found out. You know, some of my coworkers, it was like every time they went to the boss's office, it was a bad thing. Sometimes when I went to the boss, it was a bad thing. Sometimes when I went, he's like, hey, I want to talk about this or that. And it'd just be, you know, a process improvement or something. And if I was doing everything I was supposed to at work and everything was good and we're not out of sorts, I'm at peace with the boss, boy, I could stand fast in his presence. I could walk in, be like, hey, how you doing? How's your day going? And I could have that just confidence in his presence. I think a lot of times Christians, we're at peace with God positionally, but relationally in our fellowship, that peace has been disturbed by our sin, and we don't have that confidence. We don't have that peace of God ruling in our hearts. But here it tells us, have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The gospel will bring peace to your life. The peace that passeth understanding, not only peace with God positionally, but that peace of God that will rule in your hearts. But thirdly, under here, take the gospel of peace to others. You see this several times in Scripture. Isaiah references it. Romans 10 quotes Isaiah. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Jesus tells us in John 16, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. God offers peace to the sinner. He offers peace to the saint. And he tells us part of the armor of God, part of our protection, make sure you're at peace with God and take peace to others, the gospel of peace to others. Above all, Paul continues, he says, verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. In Psalm 28, verse 7, the psalmist writes, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him and I am helped. You know why children hide behind mama's skirts? You know why they go run and hide behind mom? Well, because they trust that mom's going to take care of them. I mean, she's spent so many hours taking care of them in all sorts of ways since before they were born. And they trust that mom is going to take care of them. God tells us he wants our faith to be in him. This little shield right here, it's a lot smaller than the Roman shield Paul's referencing here. I mean, he's talking, you know, a big old piece of plywood. Boy, you could hide behind that thing. They'd put them together and make different formations. I mean, it's basically a moving fort. Giant shield they would carry back then. But God tells us faith in God is going to be a protection. Believing God, the God that cannot lie. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Not because our faith is sincere, not because our faith is genuine, but because our faith is in God. That's where the protection comes from. So when we stand, wiles of the devil are being thrown at us, the fiery darts are being thrown, thoughts of unbelief and doubt are flooding our mind, and circumstances are throwing all kinds of things into our life. God tells us, hold up that shield of faith. Wait a minute, God said this. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. God's going to take care of my needs. Not just physically, he's going to take care of my needs spiritually. God's not going to let his own suffer need without him knowing it. He's not going to let us go without. He's not going to let us get to the end of our rope and say, well, I'm fresh out of rope, so I'm sorry. I'll just have to get the next one that comes along. God's not that person. God wants us to put our faith in him, and when we lift that up and we say, wait, God said this, and I believe it, that'll be a protection for our life. Next, he tells us to take the helmet of salvation, a rather important part of your body, your head, you know, protecting your head. Jesus tells us, in Matthew 10, fear not them which kill the body but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. You know, when a soldier would get you down, I mean, they're going to look to take a swipe at your neck. You know, take that head off. Just quick, clean, and everything's done. We have a helmet of salvation that the devil never can get at our head. I mean, no matter what he could do on earth, even if we throw off the rest of our protection, God still leaves his salvation on our soul. We're still sealed with the Holy Spirit, that earnest of our inheritance. That's the protection that God gives to every one of his children. And lastly, the Bible tells us to take the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. They cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Boy, take the sword of the Spirit, and as Saul did, fall upon it yourself, and let it go through you. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Let that first work in you, and then you can wield it in defense and in offense against the enemy in context. Oh, you need it. You need the word so that way you know what to believe in, to have faith in. You need the word so that way you know that you have the truth that's holding the rest of it together. You need the word so it tells you how to live out and have righteousness in your life. But you also need the word so you can take it on the offense against the devil here. And then verse 18, you notice I read it earlier, but verse 18 tells us, praying always. Put on the armor of God, stand, withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand, but then praying is that oil that's supposed to run all the way through the engine. It's something that goes along with everything else. It's the nails and the screws that hold the building together. It needs to be there along with all the protection. So let me ask you tonight, are you fearful, perhaps, of the morrow? Fearful of what might be coming down the road for you? Of the unknown? Christ tells us, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the power of his might, his dominion over all. Put on that protection that God's provided for us. Take up each piece. You have to have the whole armor. You can't have truth and then iniquity for a breastplate. You need to take it all together. Put on that whole armor and then stand. Stand for truth. Stand for right. Stand against the evil around us. Praying always, all throughout. So perhaps you've been tempted this past week. Perhaps you're thinking ahead already to this next week, and you say, you know what, there's a little bit of truth I'm going to let slip here or there. Don't do it. Don't throw away that protection. I've been thinking about the situation. I think the best way to do it is to, just bend the truth just a little bit. Don't do it. Perhaps there's been a thought coming into your mind, is God really aware of what I'm going through? Boy, lift up that shield of faith. Don't throw it off. Pick it back up and say, I don't understand it. I don't like these fiery darts flying at me, but I believe what God has to say. And I believe he is good. I believe that he is true. And I believe that he will come through in his way. And I trust that's going to be the best for me. So don't throw away the protection that God provides. And then to stand. And just stand for what's right. Live your Christian life as a Christian. Not vacillating, but as a Christian, as a soldier. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for